The tree study was a study I proposed around the time that oxaliplatin was approved, or before it was approved. And the real issue at that time was it necessary to give the 5-fluorouracil by infusion, or could we substitute a bolus schedule, which we piloted at NYU, or capecitabine out of the European literature? And so we didn't really want to mount a huge study that would look for outcome differences because, frankly, we did not think there would be a very large difference in terms of response rate or survival between the three arms. But we thought there might be significant differences in toxicity and certainly in terms of convenience, that is an issue. So we did a basically randomized study. It's been called a randomized phase two, but really it's a phase three question if you read the protocol. And the primary endpoint was toxicity over the first 12 weeks, the incidence of grade 3-4 toxicity. And with 50 patients per arm, you can really see a 25% difference in the incidence of overall grade 3-4 toxicity between the arms. So that actually was fairly interesting because it did show that Capox at the doses piloted in the European schedule with 1,000 per meter squared twice a day was the worst tolerated regimen. There was a lot more diarrhea, a lot more neutropenia, a lot more hospitalizations, and 50% of patients required dose reduction within the first 12 weeks. So the DSMB, who independently reviewed the toxicity data, suggested that going forward, we should reduce the dose to our first dose level minus one reduction level, which was 850 per meter squared. Just at that time, in 2004, when the data came out about the efficacy of bevacizumab with bolus IFL, was the time when FOLFOX was also beginning to really become the first-line regimen of choice based on the intergroup 9741 study. So the idea was to amend the TREE protocol to add bevacizumab to each arm. And by that way, we could have a quick way to get toxicity data on each of these oxaliplatin fluoropyrimidine combinations together with the anti-VEGF antibody. So the study was amended and opened essentially in the same institutions with a couple more added, and we then treated 70 patients per arm, so there are about 220 on the TREE2 cohort. So what we landed up were basically two cohorts within the TREE protocol that were sequential cohorts in time, so it is a historical comparison, but they're pretty much the same investigators. It's the same protocol, so for historical comparison, it's probably as good as you're going to get. And we were then able to look at the overall toxicity for each of these regimens. We found that, first of all, the Capox plus Bev regimen was tolerated very well now with the reduced dose and actually tolerated as well as the FOLFOX Bev regimen. The response rates were higher with the addition of bevacizumab, and we'll be reporting on the time to progression survival at the ASCO meeting.
Given the fact that this is going to come out after the ASCO meeting, can you talk about what you're going to report?
The time to progression was about 2 to 3 months longer for each of the arms, especially the Capox arm, which is the worst for progression because of the toxicity in TREE1 was higher in TREE2. And for the survival, it's a little bit hard to say at this particular time because we still haven't had 50% deaths in each of the arms in the TREE2 cohort now going on well over 2 years. And it looks, I think it's fair to say that the median survival will be greater than 2 years overall in the TREE2 with bevacizumab.
Is there any way to try to do an indirect comparison between the benefits of having bevacizumab to, let's say, FOLFOX compared to IFL based on this data?
If we look at the total grade 3-4 toxicity, in the pivotal trial presented by Herb Hurwitz, the overall toxicity, grade 3-4 toxicity, was about 85%, and it's about 70% in the TREE trial with the bevacizumab. So if you just look at the numbers of grade 3-4 toxicity, it does not seem to be more. And also, the other issue is that the bevacizumab specific toxicities were not any different. I mean, we had the same kind of incidence of hemorrhagic and thrombotic complications as had been reported previously. And by and large, I think the data that we see are very comparable to what one would have expected based on first-line and second-line data from the ECOG 3200. So I don't think there are any surprises that have come out of the tree, too. It just shows that in the first-line setting, these are all well-tolerated and that you can add bevacizumab without really changing the toxicity of the chemo and the anti-angiogenesis type toxicity is the same pretty much across regimens.